It's a great joy for Julie and I to be here with you today and to be blessed by that incredible music. Thank you, Kelvin, and choir and orchestra and everyone who's led in music. We're both musicians and we love good music. And you are blessed here at First Baptist Louisville, aren't you, with wonderful music. I encourage you to pray for Kelvin and all of the musicians, those that lead in worship through music. Hold them in your prayers and let them know from time to time just what a blessing they are to you. The most important thing we want to do today and in these brief moments is thank you. We want to thank you so much for all of your prayer and your support. But first of all, we want to thank Stephen for this time that you've given us to be able to share this morning. Thank you, Stephen. It is a privilege and an honor to have the preaching time this morning, the teaching time this morning to share with you. But we want to thank Stephen and Marcy for 32 years of friendship. We met a long time ago. We were talking last night about how it seems like just yesterday that we met. We laughed together as we talked about how we survived early ministry and seminary and everything else. And it's just amazing. It's an amazing friendship. And God has blessed us and given us a great gift in Stephen and Marcy and their wonderful family. We want to thank you, First Baptist Church Louisville, for your caring, your praying, your giving, and your going. You are a missions-minded church, and we praise the Lord for that. But thank you for doing those things, and thank you for your support over the years for our ministries. After almost 17 years in Africa, in Burkina Faso and in North Africa, we're now in France. We're in Marseille, France. We've been there for about 2.5 years. France is an interesting country. It's a country with a great, long, rich history, a much longer history than we have as a country. And Julie and I have much to learn about the history of France. We believe that there are three events, time frames in the history of France that impact French society today and impact the church and its mission and missions work in France today. One of those is this, the relationship that France has with the United States. We find the French to be very friendly to Americans. You may have had different experiences if you've gone to Paris especially, but we find them to be friendly and open and very appreciative of what our country has done for them over the years. But they're also very wary. They're afraid that American culture is going to engulf their culture and take over their culture. And that impacts how Julie and I are seen as American missionaries and certainly as Baptists and coming to their country. I don't know if you know this, but the French fought a religious war back in the 1800s. It was between the Catholics and the Protestants. And basically the Catholics tried to exterminate all of the Protestants from the country. Louis XIV said there aren't going to be any more Protestants in his country. And there was a religious war that took place. And out of that, after that war ended, there came a system that they call in French laïcité, which is loosely translated in English means a secular system that was put into place to try to eliminate any possibility of another religious war. Well, see, that impacts everything we do today and the churches do today in France because the churches are somewhat limited in things that they can do. Back in the 50s, the late 50s, early 60s, France fought a war with Algeria. Algeria was a French colony and at one point a French province, but they won their independence. They fought a battle for independence and they won. But it was a very bloody war. And out of that time of war came an incredible influx of Algerian refugees and immigrants into France, especially into Marseille, where we live in southern France. Those immigrants were Muslims. And today, it's just incredible the impact that Islam has on the society in France. There are about 6% of the population in France that is Muslim. So you see, it's quite a strong presence, and there is a great tension that's there between Muslims and the people of France. There are only 3% of the population. There's only 3% of the population of France that is Protestant. Only 3%. So we're very much a minority. Marseille, the city itself, is a very old city, 2,700 years old. Imagine that. 2,700 years old. I don't know when the city of Louisville was founded, but I don't think it was that long ago. And Marseille has always historically been an important city. This was the port. The Phoenicians founded Marseille, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. This was the port where Julius Caesar entered into Europe to conquer Europe. This was the port where some people believe the Apostle Paul stopped to preach the gospel. Marseille is a city of 1 million people. 500,000 of those are first or second generation immigrants. Now imagine that. It's one of the poorest areas of France. Our ministries in Marseille are in four primary areas. One of those is with the Reformed Evangelical Church of France. These are the old Huguenots. The history, the origin of the Reformed Church of France are the Huguenots, the Calvinists from years ago. We were invited by the Reformed Church of France, Reformed Evangelical Church of France, to come and to work alongside them in ministry. We do several things with the Reformed Church. One of those is that we joined a local French church. And I've got to tell you, we were trying to calculate earlier this morning when we walked into your sanctuary, how many French churches could fit into this sanctuary? And I think at least 10 could. The French churches are very small. And that small French church that we joined, it has 25, 30 members. And on any given Sunday, there may be 40 people in attendance. So this is really quite an experience this morning to be here with you guys and sharing this morning. But we work in that church, and we wanted to get to know the French church, how it functions, how they think. And we've become a part of the church council. And through that church, we're developing ministries, helping them as a local church to see how they can be evangelical. They can reach out to the people in their neighborhood, especially those that are the most neglected. A second thing that we do with the union, all of the Reformed churches, is that we visit the churches and we do conferences on immigration, because it's such a factor in French society. And these churches are surrounded by immigrants from all around the world. And we try to help the church to see what its response could be. What's a biblical response, a Jesus response to the immigrants around them? And the second part of those conferences is that we do conferences on Islam. How to respond to, how to engage with Muslims. We believe that if you want to share the love of Christ with another people, you have to understand what they believe. You have to understand where they're coming from. And out of that understanding comes relationship. And through those relationships come opportunities to share the love of Christ. That's the way to go. We're convinced of that. So we encourage through the conferences the churches and the members of the churches to know how to be a good neighbor to the Muslims that are in your neighborhood. How to engage in life with them. And then how to reach out to them with the love of Christ.
Pray for opportunities to lead conferences on Islam, immigration, and the response of the church. Pray for humane and logical laws which impact immigrants and refugees throughout the world. Pray that French believers and believers everywhere would see the need to engage with immigrants and Muslims, to love in the way that Jesus loved, especially those who are different.
Thank you, Julie. I was sharing in a French church recently, and we talked about this need that we must go to our Muslim neighbors and we must share the love of Christ with them. After the service, a lady came up to me and said, "Well, I just want to tell you, Pastor David, I just completely disagree with you." And I said, "Okay, that's all right." And I asked her why. And she says, "Well, I have my religion and they have their religion, and they just need to leave me alone, and I'm going to leave them alone. And that's just the way it is." And I said, "Okay, Agnes, I understand what you're saying, but that's not biblical. You can do that, believe that and do that, but that's not biblical. We should go, we must go and share the love of Christ." We lived 7 years in a country that was entirely Muslim, and because of that experience and that time in North Africa, we are well placed in Marseille to encourage churches and others to reach out to Muslims. We're very involved in interfaith activities, interfaith dialogue, and God really blessed us this year with a friendship, an open door, a friendship with an imam. An imam is like a Muslim pastor. And we had been praying for that opportunity, for that possibility, and God brought this man into our lives, and We've met him and his family and been able to dialogue with him, and we really believe that God is opening a door into a part of the Muslim world that we could have not entered into, where we can share the love of Christ. You know, God moves in the strangest and most unusual circumstances. He opens doors through the simplest of everyday experiences. For about a year now, I've been going to a Tunisian barbershop in an immigrant neighborhood to get haircuts. Now, you could be thinking right now, why does he need haircuts? Well, I really don't, but I've always found wherever we've lived that when you go to those barbershops, and you know this too, you can develop some really good relationships. And so I was in there one day, and after having said thank you for a great haircut and using some beautiful, wonderful Arabic expressions to say goodbye and I'll see you again, the owner of the shop, who always sat off in the corner and never said anything to me. You have to understand it was very unusual for a white man, for an American, to come into this neighborhood and then to come into their barbershop. Bashir is the owner. And Bashir, the owner of the shop, walked over to me and asked me if I understood the meaning of the words that I had just spoken in Arabic and wanted to know if I was a Muslim. I had the opportunity to explain to him that I'm a Christian. And then he said that he would like to get together to talk about faith. Now, every visit to the barbershop is a time of laughter, sharing, and a good haircut, as you can see. It takes time. It takes time for trust to be established. But if in a natural way we share our lives and share of ourselves, God opens doors and walls of separation are torn down. Pray for courage. Pray for courage to take everyday experiences, like getting a haircut, to be the presence of Christ.
The Marabon Center was begun in Marseille, France, by Lutheran Christians from Finland, if you can believe that. It's a small world, really. They have a focus on reaching out to Muslims and immigrants throughout the world. And David and I help lead some of the activities weekly there. Samira came to the center with her oldest of her teenage children. She was drawn to the center because the name Marhaban in Arabic means welcome. Samira's husband was kidnapped in Iraq several years ago, and he was held for ransom. She was unable to pay the ransom. She didn't have enough money, and her children were threatened with death. She went to her father-in-law, and he didn't have the money to pay the ransom fees either. But he said, I will help get enough money together, and I think you and the children need to leave the country. I want you to at least be safe. So they fled, and they landed in Turkey. In Turkey, Samira couldn't find work. She couldn't find any way to support her children. So they decided to try to leave for a different place. You see, they were persecuted and discriminated against because Samira and her children are Christians. They wanted to come to a country that had more freedom and liberty in worship. So they landed in Marseille, France, where we met them. Samira has asked for asylum, political asylum, for her and her children. But they have been rejected. They've begun the long appeal process, but it really doesn't look good. They've had no news from anyone in Iraq, including Samira's husband. Please pray for Samira and her children. Pray for all those who are persecuted because of their beliefs. Pray for the nations in conflict, for those who have been separated and torn by war or conflict, especially for the innocent ones who are caught in the middle.
Another aspect of our ministry in Marseille is working with immigrant churches. Marseille is really a melting pot for immigration. And there are people from all over the world who come to Marseille. We call this ministry the mosaic ministry because it really is a mosaic of different colors and shapes and sizes of Christians and churches and ways of worship. And it's an incredible experience that we're able to have visiting and working with these churches. So I preach in those churches. We teach together. We do leadership training in those churches. And Brother Kelvin, we also are very involved. I'm very involved in teaching music and worship to the musicians in those churches. Our hearts are really very much with the immigrant churches, because we've lived 17 years in Africa, and these churches are very charismatic, Pentecostal, and we can really identify with that after 17 years of being in churches and worshiping like that in Africa. But we also try to be a bridge between the immigrant churches and the French churches. The French churches and their leaders are not very open and not very pleased that these immigrants have come in and started their own churches. So there is friction that's there, and we do all that we can to improve communication. We plan activities that bring French pastors and immigrant pastors together, church leaders together. We have a yearly choir festival and music group festival, and that has really been a tremendous event for both groups to be together. So we want to improve communication, bring about some unity, and encourage, we hope, in the end, ministry together.
One Saturday, we visited a Messianic Jewish church. The pastor began by calling the people to worship by blowing a ram's horn. And did you know that there are different calls on the ram's horn that mean different things? I didn't know that until that day. We sang songs of faith and salvation in Jesus, but we sang them in Hebrew. Afterwards, we heard a testimony from a converted Muslim woman. And later, we all took communion together in partaking of the Lord's Supper. What a joy we had that day. We have really amazing jobs. Please pray for understanding and unity between the Mosaic pastors and leaders and the official pastors and churches, French churches.
Being a missionary really is a cool thing. It really is a cool job. And we just have experiences that are so varied and interesting. And we have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with the most neglected. That is our greatest desire. Those people in this world and in Marseille and across France that are the most neglected, the most vulnerable, we have that intense desire to share the love of Christ with them. We're very involved in humanitarian ministry there in Marseille. One of our partners is an organization called Doctors of the World. Doctors of the World is the only organization that provides free medical care for the undocumented, for those that have no means, no possibility of being healed, of finding medical care. We're involved in providing food for the most urgent needs, the most emergency situations, and providing shelter and housing for, especially for women and children.
Waleed is a young man whom we met at Doctors of the World, and he is from Tunisia. When he came in, he was very, very ill, and upon David did his first interview with him and discovered that he had no place to sleep. He was sleeping in the street. So with the help of people like you, we were able to obtain shelter for Waleed for 1 month. We were hoping that during this time he could regain some of his health and some of his strength. He has a remarkably generous spirit, and he's helped us to reach out to the other Tunisians in the Tunisian community. One evening, we were able to take food for 30 men who had been sleeping in a park out in the open. The goal is not to simply feed these folks, but the goal is to develop confidence so that we can sit down and we can talk about life and about faith, the important things in life. The week before we left to come home to the States, Waleed came to visit. He had brought us small gifts, small mementos from his home country of Tunisia. He wanted to say thank you. He said that no one else has even offered so much as a smile, and that we had offered him friendship and much more. So pray for the Waleeds of this world who've left their country because of violence, because of chaos, because of illness, only to find themselves in a place where people are too busy or unwilling to even offer a smile, a welcoming smile, or even a cup of cool water.
First Baptist Louisville contributes on a monthly basis to, particularly to the ministry with the immigrant churches and also to the humanitarian part of our ministry. To close, I just want to share some of our thoughts on what it's really all about. And I know that I'm preaching to a group of people that understand this. We have a choice to make to touch all of the corners of the earth with the love and the hope that's found in Jesus, really to follow the example of the first church in Jerusalem, or to choose to sit back and cross our arms and sit back and only care for and reach out to and be concerned about those that are close to us, watching life and the world pass by without engaging. In his first sermon, Jesus declared his passion for the poor and for the suffering. The leaders of the synagogue in Nazareth asked him to do a scripture reading from the book of Isaiah. Listen to the passage that he chose. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." The passage is absolutely remarkable. It's the first time, it's the only time that Jesus chooses a passage of Scripture and reads it. I think we could say that this is like the Nazareth Manifesto. This is like an expression of the mission of Jesus. And perhaps it should be our mission as a church and our mission as individuals. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, God tells us, "I will make you a light for all of the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." But how do we become that light? How do we become that light? I believe there are three key words: see, act, and bless. But what is it that keeps us from truly seeing the situations that are all around us in this world today? What is it that keeps us from engaging in faith with these situations around us in the world today? And what is it that keeps us from being a blessing to those and for those that are in such great need? What are the walls that separate us, that divide us in our lives? What are the walls that I've placed in my life, or that you may have placed in your life, that separate you from others, that place you on one side and on the other side is the person who's different, the person you don't like, that you detest, or maybe that you even hate? And who is the person on the other side of the wall? Is it the rich man, the poor man, the white, the black, the Muslim, the Jew, the undocumented, the Democrat, the Republican, the conservative, the liberal? The list is long, isn't it, of people from whom we divide ourselves, we separate ourselves. In the book of John, chapter 4, we read the extraordinary history of Jesus with the Samaritan woman, extraordinary story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus tore down the walls of hatred and racism that existed between Jews and Samaritans. But what about us today? Are we chained? Are we imprisoned by these taboos, these walls of our society today? In Ephesians, to close, let me just read this passage. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. "For he," Jesus, "he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross." The cross creates a new people, a cross creates a new people, a new reality, not based on the color of skin or heritage or religion, but based on the unconditional love of God for all of humanity, unconditional, universal, eternal love of God for all of humanity. Now is the time to tear down the walls that separate us, one brick at a time. The cross forms a bridge between us and God, but the cross also tears down the walls that separate us. But we have to choose to allow it to do so. Again, we say thank you this morning for your love, your support, your prayers. Please know that we love you and we support you in your ministry here and around the world, and that we are also praying for you. So what can you do? Continue to care, continue to pray, continue to give, and continue to go. To close, we want to show you some images from our ministries there in Marseille.
David and Julie have brought the world of Marseille, France, and all the things going on in that part of the world very near to our doorstep this morning. And I thank them for blessing us today with that information, with that inspiration, to remember that we are called not to just live out our faith here at home, but to network and to go to do all the things they've asked us to do. That's why we close this service this morning with an invitation, a time of commitment. For just as there are lost people all across this world, there could well be someone in this very room, and you've yet to say yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life. You have yet to step across that line of faith. We give you that opportunity in just a moment to receive Jesus Christ into your life, to ask Him to forgive you of the sin of your life, because He died upon a cross that we might live, to make Him Lord of your life. You may need help in understanding what that means or how to pray that prayer. Though we can't make that choice for you, we certainly can help lead you to that point. Maybe someone in this room would be led to join our church today, if that's what God is leading you to do, to be a part of a church that does reach out. And I'm proud of that, and not proud in the sense that we're doing all that we should, or we can always do more. But if you feel led, you and your family perhaps, to connect with a church like this one, we invite you to come and to join our church today. Maybe you're here today and what David and Julie have shared has been reflected in some of the choices you need to make in your life. I'm talking about a call to serve. Career missionaries just come out of nowhere? No. People who answer that call do so because they hear the story of others, because they sense the Spirit of God moving in their own lives. So it could well be that someone in this room today, you're following a calling that will send you to France. I don't know. But it will send you where God wants you to go. That's our invitation. We stand together as we sing. We wait for you here in the front. Won't you step out and come forward right now?